Good evening and welcome to our Champaign City Council meeting for, I guess, study session meeting for February 14th, 2023. Happy Valentine's Day. We have a proclamation for Black History Month, and then we will proceed with our agenda. So whereas in February we mark Black History Month to celebrate the many achievements and contributions made by African Americans to our economic, cultural, spiritual, and political development of our nation. And whereas the observance of Black History Month provides much needed time to focus on the significant impact of African Americans on our nation. It also calls attention to the continued need to battle racism and build a society based on justice and equality for all. And whereas the theme of the month for 2023 is Black Resistance, which acknowledges African Americans have resisted historic and ongoing oppression in all forms, especially the racial terrorism of lynching, racial programs, and police killings since the nation's earliest days. And whereas the roots of this celebration can be traced back to 1926 with the establishment of Negro History Week by Dr. Carter G. Woodson and the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. Since 1976, every president has declared February as Black History Month. And whereas the city of Champaign is a welcoming community, continuously working toward inclusiveness for all citizens and seeing that they are respected and recognized for their contributions and potential contributions to our community, the state, the country, and the world. Now, therefore, I, Deborah Frank Finan, mayor of the city of Champaign, do hereby proclaim February 2023 as Black History Month in the city of Champaign, Illinois. I encourage all citizens to celebrate our diverse heritage and culture and continue our efforts to create a world that is more just, peaceful, and prosperous for all.
Madam Mayor, I move that we approve the minutes of January 17th, 2023 regular council meeting.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And I think our deputy city manager is next.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm here this evening to provide you with an update on the ongoing work that city staff has been engaged in during the current council term, pursuant to the current council goals for this term. We'll have some highlights from each of the key project areas and goal areas as the goals were adopted by council. I'll highlight some of the important work that staff's been doing, and then we'll take questions at the end. So, as you all know, every 2 years, when a new council is seated, the new city council engages in a goal-setting process, typically in the early fall of the first year of the term. And this council set for the goal-setting process in September of 2021. Typically, what council does at that time is revisit the city's vision statement and mission and values. And at this time, in 2021, the City Council opted to retain the existing vision statement because it did reflect the current values and goals of the city. And the same is true with the guiding principles. I won't walk through each of these. I think you're all very familiar with them. But these are sort of the conceptual framework for the goal setting and for the goals themselves. So as you're aware, and as I've referenced, we engaged in a goal-setting process in September of 2021. And at that time, the city was really focused on a lot of things that were work initiatives and priorities that were driven by the impact of COVID-19 over the course of 2020 and much of 2021. And the goals for the 2019 and 2021 term included a lot of key projects that were ongoing at that time and had action steps that would lead into the current council term. And so council opted at that time to retain the existing five goal areas from the 19-21 term and add a sixth goal area to reflect ongoing high priority work that city staff was already engaged in. Under these six goal areas, there are a total of 28 key projects. Eight of those are new projects for the 21 to 23 term. 14 are carryovers from 2019 to 21. And then there are six other high priority projects that are initiatives or important work that staff was engaged in at the time of goal setting that are not otherwise captured under a council goal. And so, as I referenced at that time in the fall of 2021, the community was really feeling the impacts, the adverse impacts of COVID-19 in a number of ways that were very immediate. Socially, socioeconomically, from a public safety standpoint, and those concerns really drove the goal-setting process. We had crises in community violence, mental health, and housing security that were really foremost among council's concerns and community concerns at that time. And in addition, there was $25 million of federal funding through the American Recovery Plan Act that council was able to utilize to bolster the work initiatives that were identified as part of the goal-setting process. And so since that time, council acted quickly to adopt the current goals in December of 2021, and staff immediately engaged in the important work that council was promoting with the goal-setting process. So as you see here, the current goals are keeping our community safe, expanding economic opportunity, building safe and sustainable infrastructure, investing in our vibrant, diverse neighborhoods, and continuing other high-priority work. I won't walk through each of the key projects. There are six under the first goal area, which is our city keeps our community safe. What I will do is highlight several of the key work initiatives under these key projects. And so some of the highlights include probably foremost among the community safety goal area and key projects is the community gun violence reduction blueprint. This is a really ambitious project that staff acted immediately after the adoption of the council goals to bring forward to council to conceptualize and to bring into fruition in short order. It seems like longer ago, but it was just over a year ago that council adopted the blueprint. And then in quick succession, subrecipient agreements in February of 2022. After that ensued other action steps, including creating a new department, the Equity and Engagement Department, a new division within that department, and hiring a number of employees whose work was directly devoted to community engagement, outreach work, aimed to combat gun violence specifically. Those employees were hired. The hiring began in the summertime. The new division, the Community Safety and Justice Division, was hired in May of 2022. And once the new employees, justice victim advocates and impact outreach workers were hired, they immediately engaged in community outreach work beginning in August of 2022. A really ambitious project, as council's well aware, executed in a really expeditious manner, And that work is ongoing, of course. But the $8 million in ARPA funding, along with the focus of staff time and resources on this particular key project, was certainly a highlight for the current term and continues to be. Also under the Keeps Our Community Safe goal area, we have the official opening and full operation of Lift Champaign. You're all well familiar with the Lift program. That began before the current council term, but has continued and has fully into a fully formed program that opened its doors in November of last year and currently serves 67 Unit 4 students and their families with wraparound services that are designed to promote student success, both academically, socially, and in the community as well, and those same successes for their families. In addition to the Lift program, another highlight is the continuous recruiting and lateral hiring efforts of city staff at council's direction to improve hiring, both at the rate of hiring and for new hires and as well as lateral hires, experienced officers. And those efforts have grown and expanded during the current council term. At the time of goal setting, we were engaged in a two-year pilot program of continuous testing to allow for ongoing continual hiring of new officers. That program was adopted as a permanent program with amendments to the city code, and council also approved a lateral hiring incentive program that extends through the end of this year. The city has hired 41 total officers since the beginning of this initiative, and 9 of those are experienced officers hired laterally. Additionally, I want to highlight under the city's efforts to identify ways to reform policing and identify ways in which certain functions in policing could be performed by other types of employees or carried out differently. One thing to highlight is the Neighborhood Ambassadors Program, which began in earnest, the employees began in June of 2022, and their community engagement efforts, there's 4 of them, and that's a particular highlight under this goal area, as well as downtown safety efforts, including things like improved lighting in the downtown area, the addition of license plate readers, closable gates in the parking lots downtown, a patrol agreement with UIPD for the campus area that frees up more officers to patrol the downtown area, and then, of course, the agreement with AGB for private security patrols in the downtown area, all of this happening over the course of the last year. Okay, next we have the goal area expands economic opportunity. There are 6 key projects under this goal area, and I'll focus on the highlights here as well. The first is the promotion and advancement of incremental development. So this is a key project that had begun in the previous council term, and that work has continued in the current term. Some highlights of the incremental development work include a process for disposing of city-owned lots, and that is included in RFP that the city put out for 47 East Main for the redevelopment of that property in the downtown area, as well as the Stoughton Avenue lots, which is an ongoing effort. Probably the most significant aspect of this incremental development effort was the study session and then eventual zoning amendment changes allowing for ADUs in certain residential districts in the city. And all of those things have taken place over the past year. And that work will continue throughout the remainder of this term. Another highlight under expanding economic opportunity is the city branding and marketing campaign. The work began on that with a study session before council in September, and staff is currently working to create and release an RFP in early 2023. Additionally, I want to talk about the South Downtown development. Previously, we've referred to it as the Yards project, and I think the key project includes the Yards title still. There's been a lot of changes with this development, but staff are continuing to work to identify redevelopment opportunities and put together a redevelopment plan to bring forward to council later this year. Of course, I think council's well aware that the previous effort to partner with the University of Illinois and private developers for Division I hockey and a development around that in this location has seen some major changes, with the university announcing they're no longer pursuing hockey. So the city is continuing to work to identify ways in which this location can be redeveloped and leveraged for growth in the downtown area. And one of the main things to support that is the TIF amendments that will facilitate the expansion of the sanitary sewer. Probably not a very exciting aspect of it, but a very important one that's necessary to facilitate further development in the area. That work has continued, and staff is expecting construction work to begin potentially as early as this year, more likely probably next year, based upon the way things look currently. But the TIF amendments adopted by council recently really are an effort flowing in the direction of promoting redevelopment still in the South Downtown area. The next goal area is our city builds safe and sustainable infrastructure. There are four key projects under this goal area. I'll talk about the highlights. First, as council is aware, one of the ongoing key projects under this goal area is to promote pedestrian and bicycle safety in our city street system. And that was a project that was that began in the previous council term and continues through this term. Some of the things that have taken place to date have included updates to the bicycle vision, which will essentially list elements for future implementation in the city's bike plan, which is forthcoming later this year for a study session, likely in August of this year. Public Works staff will bring forward a bike plan for council consideration. Closely related to that is a sidewalk gap inventory and planning work, and that is set to take place later this year in July, as well as the third phase of the bike plan, which is the implementation phase. Next, under the infrastructure goal area, is addressing a backlog of major city facility projects. And these are ones that were marked urgent or past life expectancy on our list of facility projects that building services staff has taken a proactive and aggressive approach in addressing some of these particular projects. I'll name a few. The city building roof is one significant one, and masonry work as well in the city building and other city facilities. Doors and windows on fire station 1, 3, and 4, and some remodeling in the police department investigations division. These are all things that, while they don't sound particularly interesting on the surface, are really important in keeping up with, of course, as deferring the work can lead to larger problems in the longer term. And so Public Works staff and building services is proactively engaged in this facility work. And then I'll talk about the Neal Street Plaza as well. That work is ongoing. That's a carryover project from the previous council term. And staff continues to pursue funding, both grant funding and with private entities locally, for future work on the Neal Street Plaza. And that includes programming CIP funding for the Neal Street Plaza to facilitate the next phases of that, that project, including construction drawings that are coming forth, are likely to take place, I should say, later this summer. All right, the fourth goal area, fifth goal area, is this: our city invest to support its vibrant, diverse neighborhoods. And there are six key projects under this goal area as well. I'll talk about some of the highlights. One of the other really significant highlights from the work that the administration and staff have been engaged in over the past year, as you're well aware, has been the effort to open a low barrier area around emergency shelter. This is one of the things that council really put a point of emphasis on, addressing housing in the goal setting process. And you know, in less than a year, this has gone from a concept to funding for this particular initiative to an open shelter serving all of the needs of our unhoused population here in the community, something that did not exist a year ago. It's been a significant partnership effort between city staff and other local agencies, and of course the City of Champaign Township and their leadership and willingness to step forward and operate the shelter. Future work forthcoming on that will be subrecipient agreements related to the operation of the shelter, and that I believe is coming forth next week for council consideration. All right, next I'll talk about the Garden Hills Strategic Neighborhood Action Plan. And this is also work that began in late 2021. And it's a interdepartmental group that has worked to engage with the neighborhood groups and residents in Garden Hills and began their outreach work in late 2021. In early 2022, took steps to start a neighborhood newsletter, put together a project website that was up and running as of March of last year, and then started meeting quarterly for informational meetings with neighborhood groups as part of their outreach work. Additionally, there is an effort to create a TIF in the Garden Hills neighborhood. We've had the public hearing, council's had the public hearing on this recently, and I believe the TIF creation council item is in process and forthcoming shortly, but that would facilitate redevelopment in the neighborhood and hopefully, you know, lead to additional transformation in Garden Hills along with other aspects of work that the city is focused on. Another thing to highlight that's part of this, has become part of the Neighborhood Action Plan work, is the Pop Park. You're all familiar with this, but another example of staff really coming together, working together closely in close collaboration and executing a plan quickly to accomplish something really meaningful, good for the community and for the neighborhood. Of course, this is a temporary park at Hedge Road and Garden Hills Drive, something that the city was able to pull off in 100 days of work starting in March. It's part of the Safe Places Active Spaces initiative. And it really is an example, a fantastic example of interdepartmental collaboration and teamwork along with neighborhood engagement. And the result has really been a point of civic pride and a place of belonging and positivity in the neighborhood in Garden Hills. And it's been recognized by the American Planning Association Illinois chapter with its Diversity and Social Change Award for 2022. Finally, is the sort of the catch-all category goal area for other high priority projects. There are six key projects under this area, and this is the kind of the ongoing work that didn't really fit into other council goal categories that was high priority for council and for the administration to continue. Highlights under the other priority projects include sort of in the big picture, the administration of the American Recovery Plan Act funding to serve the community's needs. I think the actual key project references an emphasis on housing. I'm going to run through just some facts and figures related to ARPA and what all it's funded and led to in terms of the work program. Of course, there's a blueprint with nearly $8 million allocated of ARPA funding to get that up and running and to help it become successful in a short amount of time. There's also the Neighborhood Ambassadors Program. $1.26 million of that ARPA funding went towards the Ambassadors Program. Council also allocated money toward the shelter. Garden Hills Lighting, significant investment in the Garden Hills Lighting Project, as well as Garden Hills Stormwater. Total of nearly $13 million went to those major Garden Hills infrastructure initiatives. Grant management, so a major need for the city with all of the federal funding that's coming in on all of these new initiatives. And then, of course, housing and homeless services to the tune of about $2.6 million. All of the work pursuant to that funding has sort of fallen under this this particular key project area and, you know, really has told the story of much of the current council term. Next is the work that the finance department has engaged in to audit city revenue sources. That work is ongoing, but there's been significant progress to date. Audits of the sales tax and home rule tax revenue sources are complete. Ongoing is the city utility taxes audit, which I think council's familiar with. Franchise agreements, so auditing the franchise agreements and revenue sources under those is forthcoming in 2023, as well as beginning to audit local city taxes, food and beverage, hotel, motel, local motor fuel as well. And then finally, I'll highlight the records management process implementation. Another key project identified by council, and that includes adding employees, so adding two full-time employees to support FOIA administration, one in finance supporting the city clerk, and one in the police department to support FOIA response volume and complexity. Also adding the records manager position that was that occurred in late in 2022, launching a new public FOIA portal, both the front end, the public portal for facilitating FOIA requests and improving the user experience, streamlining that for the public, as well as improving the internal processes for responding to and processing FOIA requests. And that just launched in January. Forthcoming work on records management process include hiring a consultant this spring, issuing an RFP to hire a consultant for records management services, and then implementing a records management system with a timeline of December of this year. And so those are really the major highlights I wanted to focus on tonight. Of course, there are more key projects and a lot of other details included in your packets and in the progress update forms that are attached to the report. We'll field any questions that council has, and if they are more granular than I can handle, we have directors here to field those.
Technical questions, Councilmember Gladney.
Thanks for the presentation. Quick question I had. In here's about a focused housing study the Regional Planning Commission might be doing for the city next year. It says they're working out the parameters of that. Can you explain a little bit about what that will look like?
That's what I'll have to defer. I think that's an NSD question, possibly planning as well.
I think they're still gathering input on what the study is going to be focused on. We have met internally with the planning department to talk about what types of needs Champaign would need, and we haven't provided any input yet to RPC on that, but we're working on it, so I'll have to get back with you with more information when I have it.
Okay. One more quick question. So in our packet, there's, you know, a very detailed list of expanded list of the items that are, you know, fall under all these categories. Some of them, it notes, you know, have been delayed due to various reasons, although in the far right column it says like they're completed. So do you know why it would say that they're completed when they're actually have been delayed?
I think the completed boxes would be for specific action steps, but other aspects of the project would be delayed if I think generally speaking that's what that would indicate, unless there's a specific one that you're looking
There's
at.
There's several of them that are like that. Okay. So, yeah. All right, thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone in the audience wish to address this? Council comments? Councilmember Pianfetti?
Thank you, Your Honor. I just have a few quick comments. First, thank you for the presentation this evening. Two thoughts came into my head as you were presenting. First, it was always interesting as we're talking about projects, because sometimes I forget some of these are projects because they come so seamlessly into fruition that I forget that they are taking up so much time and so much effort of our city staff. So thank you to the department heads, and thank you to your staff for all the work that goes behind the scenes and sometimes goes on without us really recognizing what is all involved. Because I was thinking how, for example, just this weekend, I had a constituent raise a concern, and the city staff had to help me address that concern. And as that was being addressed, all project work was going on. So I know I've said this in the past that, you know, we set these goals and we have these projects attached to these goals. But as all this work is going on, there are still operational things that have to take place. There are still concerns of our residents that are being addressed, and I wanted to acknowledge that as all these highlights are being talked about and all these projects are underway, the staff and still takes on so much more. So I wanted to acknowledge that. I also was thinking that as I was thinking about financial management and what I was one of the things that my parents taught me and what I was sharing with my children was, if you want to see what's important to somebody, look at their budget. And I was really proud, as you were saying, the numbers of the ARPA, because we could have done anything with that money. And as a council and as a city, we opted to make sure that that money reflected what we thought was important for our community and what mirrored the goals that we all discussed collectively. And I think that as people are looking at what we think is right for this city, it's reflective of the voices that people have shared with us and the concerns that they have had about this city and how we can move forward to make sure that it is a safe community and that we are doing things to make sure that people want to come to our downtown and that people want to, you know, do things that are productive and open a business here, and that we are helping every member of this community. So I think that was a very proud moment in my head that we are reflecting that. And just the last thing that I took a note about I also think that the things that we are doing to make sure that we are being transparent, things like the FOIA portal and everything that I think is a model of our budget portal, I think all those things are really a testament to the fact that we are trying to communicate as much as we can with our public. So, you know, while I would love to take credit for this work, I think I'm just a very small part of that. And so the thanks goes to all the people that are here and behind me and in front of me. So thank you for that effort. And thank you to my colleagues here, because I think we work very well together. So thank you for that.
Councilmember Fulmer.
Thanks, Your Honor. I'll be relatively quick. So this is nothing that you highlighted, nor any of the other work is easy work. And this is really a reflection of really aggressive action by our staff. And I think that we should all be very proud of everything that you all have accomplished over the past year or so. We have said it many times that, you know, the quicker we can move, the better. And that has really put the pressure on you all. And I hope you know that we see that in this work. This is really a reflection of you all taking that direction and really taking it to heart. And I so appreciate it. I think this is, again, a reflection of Champaign's ability to lead. I hope you all are proud of your work. I certainly am. And I hope that folks will take a little bit of time to reflect on what we've accomplished, because this is significant. So thank you.
Councilmember Bruno.
Thanks. I'd like to follow up on the remarks made by my colleagues. Just make the observation that we don't have many city council meetings that are as sparsely attended as tonight. Other than the nine of us and employees, department heads, we have one audience member who is seeking a spot on the city council. And no members of the local print or broadcast media are here tonight. And probably not a lot of households are tuned in. But this is really the stuff that we can all be proud of. I'm proud of the city that I live in. I'm proud of the staff that work here at the city. And this is the important stuff we do. And I think all nine of us know that. We will have a packed house should we discuss backyard hens or important things like that, or some small modification to building regulations, or something that pits adversaries against one another. That'll get them to pack up the family and get in the car and come on down here to tell us how angry they are with the city. But this is really the important work. It's the not very sexy stuff. So many different things up there we could all comment on. I don't think anybody's listening, but that doesn't mean it's not important. And I thank you, Matt, and I thank you all you department heads and Dorothy and my colleagues, because this is the work that goes unnoticed and won't make a headline tomorrow and has to happen, and the stuff I'm so proud of. In fact, you're talking about fixing up facilities, capital facilities. One only needs to look at the stories about Urbana just now building first building that the city has built in 20 years to solve a long deferred need for upgraded facilities for their public works department. But the stuff that we do at the city sometimes goes unnoticed, but it's very important, and I thank you all, and I'll shut up now.
Anyone at this end? Deputy Mayor Kyles.
You know, this I do start off in agreement with all of what's been said, and it is something to get pumped up over. It is something to get excited about. Mayor, when you read that proclamation, I can tell you that from, you know, commemorating and talking about Black History Month, the only reason that I felt value in it was because of this work. If it was just a proclamation, you know, when you get a little bit older, you hear a lot of proclamations, and you start to dismiss those things as, you know, you're glad for the recognition, but you're like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. But when you go and you start looking at the things that have happened in Garden Hills, when you look at things that have happened in Douglas, when you look at things that, not just window dressing, but hitting at core issues. When we look at the LIFT program, I could remember back in the day when we had something called a community coalition program, action plan. Those things make, like, you know, at least from my standpoint, I don't speak for everyone, they make the proclamation value added. The work that we've talked about tonight, even from the auditing standpoint, even from the financial, the ability for a citizen to be able to look at how we spend money is a really big deal. And so I thank God. I mean, I'm pumped up, and it's not just because of this this tea that I'm drinking. I think that it's amazing, and as talked about, it's reflective of the conversations that we've had and dialogues that we've had publicly, the emails, the staff working tirelessly. And even though it sounds like we have when people look at our numbers, they say, wow, that's a large staff. When you look at the work that's done, you realize that it's not a large staff at all. And, you know, I thank God for your strength. I pray, God, for your continued strength. And I pray that the community continues to engage and interact. And as we continue to do the work, as long as they'll have us, we'll, you know, let's go.
Anyone else? Councilmember Gladney.
Thank you. So, again, thank you for the presentation. So a couple of comments my colleagues have made have sort of jump-started in my head, a few remarks. So a question I get a lot from people in the public is, so what is the city doing to address X thing? Or what is the city doing in general, you know? And it's like, okay, well, you know, how much time do you have? And it's funny, sometimes when I start, you know, talking about it, like people's eyes glaze over. And not because they think they become disinterested, but because it's a bit overwhelming. And I think overwhelming in a good way. You know, that tends to be some sort of a bit of a negative connotation, that word. But I think it can be overwhelming in a way that, like, the city is doing so much that, you know, it's a lot to take in. And so, yeah, like Councilmember Bruno was talking about, you know, how, you know, the various types of meetings that we have and the attendance that comes up. I think it's just, as far as human beings are concerned, it's easier to focus on a particular issue. So yeah, you know, you want to talk about backyard, you know, husbandry, animal husbandry, or something, or changing a building code. I mean, that's a simple thing. People can hone in on that. They can follow that. They can get, you know, worked up about that. But all of this, I mean, if you go online and look at the document on our, is on our agenda for this, it is a large document. All the things that the city has so far accomplished in the last couple of years and is working on now and is planning on working on. So yeah, it's a lot. And then Councilmember Fulmer, just his remarks, you know, jump-started the fact that yes, our staff needs to be called out, because as a council, you know, we come up with like ideas, but ideas need to be implemented. And our staff are the ones that are tasked with, you know, okay, you know, now there needs to be a way to come up with a way to do all of this. And our staff are the ones who do that. And, you know, they're on the front lines. They are in various capacities. and they are having to, you know, figure out a way to do these things that these ideas that we have, these goals. So my hats are off to them and all the work that they put in. And then also, finally, our community partners, the organizations, because the city does a lot, but the city can't and does not do everything on its own. We have a lot of very active organizations and community members that help us get these things done. So thank you to them as well.
Anybody else? All right. Thank you. So the next item on our agenda is audience participation. If anybody wants to step forward. Seeing none, are there any council member or Deputy Mayor Kyles?
Because it was on the agenda and because it February is a big deal, Black History Month, I thought I would reemphasize, or at least, I mean, I think that a lot of times, you know, when you hear about some of these things, you know, some of these days, some of these people, it kind of glosses over because you're like, Black History Month, you know, isn't it all the time or whatever the case may be. But I do celebrate the accomplishments of the citizens that have made, the citizens that we know about and the citizens that we don't know about, that have made countless efforts, I mean, and done amazing things to make our community what it is. Every time I go to a street sign, a lot of times you go by like, who is that person? I'm like, yeah. But actually learning about what the contributions of some of these individuals did, whether it was entrepreneurial, whether it was, you know, neighborhood safety, I think it's a big deal, and it's one of those things that we need to, you know, growing up, history was kind of, to be quite honest with you, it was boring. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that if a man or woman doesn't know who he was or who she was, then how do they know what they can become? And I believe that, I mean, I'm a living witness of, I grew up in church. At our church, we were engaged and involved in the community, big time. I mean, it wasn't just like we had church in the hall. We had church outside, and we was a part of countless drives. And so that's why, as God would have it, being in Champaign, my advocacy and the work of community engagement is because I saw it modeled before me. And so I think that even though we don't talk about it, I mean, even names that we hear about, Dr. Martin Luther King, we don't really talk about a lot of times. He actually talked more about economic development than he actually talked about, you know, us just coming together. You see, if you go to a dinner table, and what I found is, and as an African-American, just being more observing than these days, if you go to that dinner table and everybody's eating, but you don't have a plate, you got an empty plate at the table, you know, no one wants to be excited about that table. And so even his contribution isn't talked about in its entirety, but economic development is a big deal. As we talked about community coalition, I had a blessed opportunity to go to one this past month, and I saw the work continuing going, but there was a group called Wall Street Jewelers, which I shamelessly, because my son and daughter are involved and engaged, but other youth, they've opened it up to other youth. And to hear young kids be able to talk about economics, not just in our terms of making money, but how the world works, is a big deal. And so, I don't know, I usually don't talk about proclamations that much, but I think it's a big deal because we live in a society where African Americans aren't really talked about that highly of. And the only time that we talk about African Americans typically is under some negative light. And so today, or tonight at least, I wanted to take some opportunity and time and talk about the countless contributions that we have been blessed to make behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, and more so behind the scenes, which is why so many people every talk about more so the negative stuff, because they don't necessarily see and understand the people that work countlessly behind the scenes. I end with George Washington Carver. Henry Ford had a relationship with him, and a time where, you know, that wasn't like popular, and maybe it isn't popular even today. But his contributions, again, over-talked and discussed name, but they don't talk about the importance of that relationship and how those contributions, you know, made, like, things that we enjoy today are products of that relationship. So thank you for doing the proclamation, and it's pretty amazing to the citizens that we talk about and those that we don't talk about. It's a big deal.
Anyone else? City Manager.
Thank you, Your Honor. I normally don't do this, but in response to some of the council comments on council goals on behalf of our organization, I want to thank you, not just because you said nice things about our work tonight, but we're nothing if not for your leadership. And governing and democracy is messy and it's hard. And our city council is engaged and responsive, and you listen to the people of this community, and then you translate that into a vision that your staff can operationalize, right? So thank you. We are working hard. We appreciate the acknowledgement, but I would be remiss to not point out that we're only as good as the people who lead us, and so thank you tonight for your comments.
Madam Mayor, I move we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Anybody who wants cake in honor of Councilmember Bruno's birthday, join us in the back.